What is the fourth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. In the name of Jesus, amen. For our meditation this morning, we're focusing on the fourth commandment. To explain the fourth commandment, we need to begin with two parts. Parents and other authorities, and honor. God places all authority over us, beginning with our parents. Beginning with our parents, God gives people an office towards us. The office of parent is given by God at the moment of conception. From that point onward, there is a father, a mother, and a child. Parents are given the responsibility to love and train up this child. They may choose to delegate that to teachers and pastors and others, some of those particular responsibilities, but ultimately it still remains their responsibility. God works through parents to provide for and to raise children. And not only does God give parents, God gives all other authorities as well. He institutes civil government because in this fallen world, sin must be punished to restrain it. The civil government is given, as the scriptures say, given the sword. That is, given the power and authority to execute men for the express purpose of punishing wickedness and for waging wars when necessary. Taking life isn't something that is in the authority of any person without breaking the fifth commandment, except in the case of the government when they are using the sword, again for execution of criminals or for waging war for the defense of their people, or in cases of personal self-defense. God works through government, even bad ones, to punish evil, reward good, and maintain peace. In this commandment, therefore, we are called to something that is far higher than just love of our neighbor, as we are called to in the rest of these commandments. Here, in this fourth commandment, we are called to not only love our parents and other authorities, but to honor them. That is, we are to recognize them as a gift of God for our benefit. This honor is not just attitudinal, but it results in concrete actions. For our parents, as children, we are to listen and obey them. And as they grow older, the dynamic changes slightly, but we are still called to honor them as God's means of our provision. And as they grow old, we have a duty to care and protect them. Even if we aren't the one doing the care, for example, if you delegate that to a nursing home, you're still responsible for them. We are called in this commandment, dear Christians, to honor other authorities as well. While we certainly may disagree sometimes with their policies, especially as our society grows less Christian, while we may see their obvious sins and flaws, we are called to recognize that all human authority has been given by God for the sake of good order. They possess a hidden majesty and glory because they have been placed over us by God. Now, there's a big asterisk there. Because when authorities command us to sin, we must obey God rather than man. Biblical examples of this abound. In Exodus, for example, Pharaoh commands the midwives to murder the Hebrew boys. That breaks the fifth commandment. They don't break the fifth commandment. They deliver the baby boys and give them to their mothers and fathers, and they lie to Pharaoh about it. And what does God do? He blesses them for it. In Acts 5, the apostles are commanded by the Sanhedrin, the civil authorities of Jerusalem, to stop preaching about Jesus. What do the disciples do? They refuse, and they go on preaching Jesus. And each of them received the crown of eternal life. And yet we see in those examples and in the other examples, even where there is a specific disobeying of the civil authority in order to obey God's law, Even there is still a call to respect the civil authorities. Even though Peter, for example, was one of those apostles who was detained by the Sanhedrin, he will still write in 1 Peter 2 to listen and obey governing authorities. Even though Paul will be have similar actions taken against him on multiple occasions as he preached the gospel, he will still call us to respect and honor those who have been placed in authority over us. And, as he says in 1 Timothy 2, to pray for them, so that God might maintain peace and good order in the land for that sake. Because it's of no benefit to us to have authorities get overthrown and violence and bloodshed that comes with that. It is far easier and better for us to have peace that God maintains through these authorities. And so we honor them, serve and obey them, and pray for them. Now, where we have broken this commandment, or we have fallen short of keeping it, let us repent and hear the gospel. Jesus has perfectly kept this commandment in your place and has died to pay for your sins. In his earthly life, he honored perfectly his father and mother. Even when they didn't understand that whole Son of God thing in Luke chapter 2. And Jesus has to rebuke them and say, did you not expect me to be about my father's business? In his earthly ministry, he honored and obeyed the governing authorities, whether that was the high priest or Pilate and others. In his earthly ministry, he paid taxes. Granted, of course, he got those taxes from the fish, you may recall. In his earthly life, he provided for his mother. And at his death, he entrusted her to John for her care. In all these things, Jesus keeps this commandment perfectly. And so your righteousness before God in regard to this commandment is not based on how well you have kept it. It is based on him. And where you have broken it, his blood covers that as well. Let us then, dear Christians, see that we are free to do the good works of this commandment now. For you are acceptable in God's sight for Christ's sake. In his name, amen.